And ladies and gentlemen, he's one of the all-time greats, my buddy, Mr. John Wayne.
You're listening to the John Wayne Gritcast with me, Ethan Wayne.
The hell I was.
We're talking all about the life and legacy of my father.
John Wayne.
Mr. John Wayne.
John Wayne is the United States of America.
Slap some bacon on a biscuit and let's go.
Did you ever open a drawer and find a gun?
Well, he just left the guns out. I would see the guns like in his, he had a nightstand that was kind of like open. You know, I had like a...
And his 38 special was laying out?
Yeah, there was a gun. And I knew not to touch it. I knew, you know.
Okay. So, you know, see, he learned from experience. Because before he told, like you, he said, don't go near the dark. I'm not telling you why. You know, but he never told me anything. I was in his room. I have Melinda was with me. I'm probably 7. She's probably 6, maybe 5. And, you know, when I see a 30 special, I said, look at this. You know, he goes like, he just exploded. Like, no, I'm going like, no, I didn't know. How could I know? I guess, you know.
That was a cat.
Well, that thing turned into a 357 by the time he got to Bay Shores.
Yeah.
And he would leave, and then I would go out and put a round into the pool and then go get the bullet.
You would get put it into the
and
pool?
Then put, oh, my God. Put another thing in.
Oh,
how old were you?
Oh, 7.
I don't know, 12 or 14 or something like
it's
that.
It's been there for years.
To know better.
Was.
Did you remember the kick that I got?
Oh, I think back to that night, you will get in a lot of trouble.
Yeah. Hi, Karn.
Hi.
How you doing?
Oh, my God, look at this grown up.
Come sit here. Just crawl around that thing. Like, make your way around it. So it's...
Carmella, and, this is Griffin.
Hi.
Hi, Carmella.
Nice to meet
look at
you.
That beautiful smile. She and looks just like her mom.
We'll share
oh,
this.
No. I don't want
to. Well, you're. It's just.
Is your phone on silent?
Yes.
Swear to God.
Is your Apple Watch on silent?
Who's your favorite uncle?
Uh-oh. I'm not answering.
A lot of pressure.
And it's on tape.
Yeah, it's on tape.
So actually, make it a good one.
Do you have memories of our Bay Club Thanksgivings? I know I said that you wouldn't have to be on camera,
no.
But... Oh, you're
you don't
remember when we do the Macarena?
See,
or the
when we're doing a podcast, you make up stuff. You can, no is not an answer. You're allowed to say anything. Oh, yeah.
When we would have everybody to the Balboa Bay Club on Thanksgiving, and it was we'd hand out gifts from Santa, and all your cousins were there. You've got to be kidding me. You don't remember those parties?
You remember getting
presents?
Oh, my
God. Don't you remember getting those?
Or
you weren't even born yet. I don't know what's wrong with my sister.
I mean, Duke was there. Too.
Yeah, Duke was there. Duke got up and did the Gangnam deal.
Oh, yeah. And we would all get those like presents.
Yeah. Hello. Yeah, okay. Look at the memory snap. Yeah.
And there was a bunch of kids and a bunch of food.
Yeah.
Thanksgiving.
And everybody would run around until you'd like fall back crying and stomping your feet.
I don't want to leave.
That was fun. And I thought their food was amazing.
It was so good.
Like, it was so good.
It was really
good. And then I remember, like, I'm not a huge shopper. I don't know if you guys have noticed. But I went somewhere, like, to a surf shop or something, and I bought a collared shirt. And I'm like, oh, this thing looks okay. So I grabbed it, threw it in a bag on the way to the Bay Club. I put the shirt on. Uh-oh. I didn't know that it had, like, a embroidered eagle on the back.
How
like,
weird. You're like so
the,
weird.
The top of
my
Trans Am was embroidered.
Was it Von Dutch?
It was something like that.
Well, I
love that
eagle.
Spending the whole night not knowing that. You're getting home.
Camaro.
Like,
it's with
this
it's
on
Camaro
the back of my shirt?
Oh, my God.
Pretty weird. So if you remember that shirt, it was unintentional.
How many more times did you wear that shirt?
Probably never.
I don't think so.
Probably never.
You should have left that shirt at the
Dover. It still hurts to think that I walked around in it.
The fact is, you didn't know it was there while you were walking around.
No.
Or you would have been up against a wall.
No, like, I didn't know.
This looks
I
good.
I didn't know.
That look, I fun. Got a collared shirt.
Okay.
I'm glad you came by.
Best Christmas memory with Dad.
Oh, my gosh.
Just pick one. Okay, on the boat, in Mexico,
well,
on location.
I remember being at his house for Christmas, not so much on the boat. I do know we went over Christmas vacation, but I remember one year... The living room was just, it was solid, just presents everywhere.
Get over here.
And he brought me aside on Christmas Eve and said, I'm so embarrassed. I got you so many gifts. Do you want to open one or two beforehand? And I was like, yes. And so we went back to the room, you know, the outside room where they used to wrap the gifts in the office. And he let me open a couple of gifts ahead of time.
That was the office Finn, get down. Finn, get down. He's okay. It's just salami. He's just having a little.
Thank God he didn't go for the pâté.
There's what? Oh yeah, oh. He's fine.
No, chocolate's not good.
He runs that stuff right through his system. No problem.
He's had chocolate before?
Goes in the front, comes right out the back. No problem.
So it's okay if dog does that, but if my kids were up doing that, they would get
in big trouble. Carmella, down.
Off.
Come over here. Okay, so fondest.
So that was just kind of a special moment.
Sit
me and
down
I.
Here. Get your legs on this side of the microphone. All the way over. Yeah, thanks. All
right.
It's the first time you've ever done anything I've asked you.
Are you talking to Finn or are you talking to Carmella?
She's like a world champion avoider. I'm like, sit out here and talk to me. Boom, right back to her.
Can't help it. Talking about gifts.
Well, that was special. And then I remember when Aisa had turned 16 and she wanted a Porsche. And he was really close with Chick Iverson and she thought she was going to get a car. And I think she drove that orange square back Volkswagen around for, you know, until Christmas time. And I knew the Porsche was in the garage like the whole time. And she never went in there. And he kept giving gifts out. And she's like, that's it. And he's like, oh, wait, no, there's one more for you. And he gave her like this little gift that was small. And she was like,
that can't be a car.
Opening it up. And I think it was like a cigar box or something. And she was like, Daddy's like, open it. And she opened it and there were keys.
Hello. Oh my gosh.
And she just was, you know, do you remember that?
Seventh Heaven.
Yeah, I remember.
Got the Volkswagen.
And I remember sitting there going, thinking,
What do I want?
Is there a chance that I'll get a car when I'm 16?
You could.
Because I worked at Chick Iverson.
That little 914.
And remember the green dune buggy? He ended up with a dune buggy because you and Everett Creech did the Baja 1000.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
So there was a dune buggy parked down there. And when I was 16, he goes, you can drive the dune buggy to school and then back to the house.
Oh, my
oh
God.
God.
That is it. Oh, my God.
That is it.
Oh, my God. That is like, so funny.
So there's no Porsche.
hello?
There's
no Bronco?
Yeah. Yeah. Nope. There's no
that
Porsche.
Dune buggy. Oh, like my God. Green, you can metallic, drive. Sparkly.
Whose Bronco is that?
I know.
It's so funny.
It's his.
That's cool, isn't it?
It's
car.
It's really so funny cool. when you the times. The two gifts I remember he gave me when I was like 5 years old, I had a remote control truck, but it had a wire on it. Mm-hmm. So it would go as far as the wire would go. That was the greatest thing in the world. And then he gave me a portable television. The screen was about 5 inches in diameter. It's about this big. It weighed about 150 pounds. Portable though.
But it was the first
rabbit
one,
ears.
Right?
I mean, I don't know what it was. And it was like you turn it on, it looked like a snowstorm someplace. But it was so great. He just walked in this thing. And then, you know, you get a magnifying glass and put it, and it made it 7 inches. And I was, oh, my God. It's so different. I mean, you won't ever relate to this, but you grew up in Encino.
Yeah.
He lived in Encino before he moved. You remember? You
were
born. You lived for 2 years in Encino. I lived in Hancock Park and Encino. For me to call you guys in Encino, I had to call the operator to make a long distance call.
Yep.
From Hancock Park.
Wow.
It's 13 miles maximum.
Yeah.
On a, wow. You know, if it's so different. You won't understand this stuff.
No.
We had rotary dials. We had 8-track tape players. We had.
You had to
so
go
you
to
would
a
call
telephone
an
booth.
Operator and you'd go, I want to place a call to.
Webster
Julia,
63.
Yeah, Webster 63. That's how your phone number would be. And you go, okay, hold on. And then they'd connect it. And you'd go, hello? And you'd be like, Patrick? Yeah. Okay, thanks, operator. Then you'd talk.
Step off and have a conversation.
And then dad in a station wagon had a mobile phone.
Oh, yeah.
Right? This
big
thing with these like push buttons. And you came in, 65, I'd like to place a call to whatever. And then they'd connect them. Over.
And then you gave me my first mobile phone.
I did?
Yeah.
That big.
I'm a nice guy. Thing. Like the briefcase phone.
The briefcase.
Like a briefcase phone.
And I had the briefcase in the back of my Range Rover. And then up here, I had something built in the thing, which you could pull the phone up here. Had a cord, you know, one of these curly Q cords.
When I was doing Adam 12, I'd stay at his house a lot.
One Adam 12.
And me and Peter Peros decided, they got these mobile phones. Now we're always on location. We're like all over the place. Let's get one. So we each got these briefcase phones, and as soon as we brought them to the set, the producer comes out and he's like, no phones on the set. So we couldn't
use them. It ruins everything.
We spent like, I don't know what they cost, but we were a little upset. We couldn't use those phones. Isn't that crazy?
I liked him. He was a nice guy.
So remember when I worked in India? Can you guys remember when I was over there?
I almost went with you.
Jaipur. Yeah.
Okay. So there were no cell phones then, which is mind-boggling to me. And I would have to go from the hotel to like a main street in a little town and go to like a little tiny, you know, shop.
Yeah.
And you'd hand the guy a paper with a number and he'd go, okay, out. And you'd go out and the other people would be going in and then he'd go, you, come here.
We got your call.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
I'd call Michael.
That's crazy.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
There were no phones. Like, that was it. That was my communication to the world. That was in the 90s.
Oh, I know. I'm sorry.
So it's hard keep to bugging my sister. Such a short time.
Well,
ago.
I still have my AOL account that you set up for me. Every time I give that out, these kids look at me like, you have an AOL
is it
account?
Still there?
Yeah.
I still have an AOL account. I'm never going to change.
I know. I don't have Facebook. I don't have AOL.
EW1.
EW1.
You were Hank W1.
I was Hank W1.
Oh, remember?
It was my dog.
Hank.
Yep.
Yeah, old Hank. He had back surgery and he chewed his foot off.
Oh.
Like chewed a couple of his toes off because he couldn't feel it, I guess. So I come home. It looks like
a murder has taken
place. A triple murder has taken place.
Triple homicide.
And he's like,
there's blood
all over these floors.
Oh my God.
In those days, I had carpet in the three bedrooms. That white Berber carpet, congealed blood everywhere, black. And
here at this house?
I knew I was going to have the house like remodeled eventually once the dog died. So I just steam cleaned it off the floors.
Did you find the toes? Or did he
there's a lot of forensic evidence in that carpet.
Before we get past 1 Adam 12. He was living in here, Orange County, and the work was in L.A., so he would come stay with me. One morning, he gets up and walks out the front door and goes to work right in front of my house.
Stop it.
That was the location.
Oh,
the house across the street.
Well, your house was
George,
the flop house.
George
Fennedy.
George Fennedy's the director, the guy I used to play handball with. I go, what's going on? And here he is working right here. I'm going like, man, I never had a job this easy. Gets out of bed and he walks outside and he's going to work.
That's too bad.
Yeah.
Yeah, that one day. The rest of the time was Pacoima, Compton, North Hollywood.
Some very scary areas. And by the way, remember when Anthony disappeared?
Yes.
Your experience with the police? We went to every police station and put APBs out on everything.
Oh, yeah. We had flyers printed out. And your mom found them. The only person in the family who literally can't see
found him. And she found him.
And she found him.
In a bush, like a block from your house.
Remember, she's had six boys. Nothing could get past her.
Well, that's a good point. That could be the point. So amazing.
So you're 17, and you're working at Raw Yoga.
Yes.
Where me and your mom go.
She loves it.
Are you allowed to work at 17 there?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What do you mean? Yeah,
like, hire a 12-year-old these days if they can get
if they can
to
do it.
Show up
yeah, and, that's true.
Because
I mean,
and what about Escuela?
What do you mean? Oh, it's good.
You take Spanish,
you go and to school and work,
and she's on the varsity tennis team.
You're kidding? In other words, varsity tennis. That's true. You go to Newport Harbor.
That's exactly what
Newport Harbor varsity tennis.
Yes. My alma mater.
And so,
I have 1 year left.
Didn't you take a?
So you don't have to go to any of those reunions then.
But he died in June of my junior year. So how many months were we actually at UCLA?
Ugh, like what? April till or.
What month did he go in?
April.
I drove.
He was there.
April, May, June.
Yeah, he was there for 6 weeks.
April, May, and June of that year.
That would have been it.
Took the test. Yeah.
Oh.
I wasn't, doing really good in school at that point.
That
test and got past it. And luckily, Gary McLarty hired me on the Blues Brothers because I don't know what would have happened to me if I'd have just been free.
I don't either.
Free.
Yeah.
Just a little nudge in the right direction.
Yeah. Blues Brothers 2000. I don't know what got you on the right track. You're on a great track, whatever you did.
2000. No, it was.
No, it was the original one.
Yeah, it was the original one.
Brothers.
Weren't you in the flipping car?
Yeah. It was 79. What am I talking about?
Maybe we need to watch.
What? In 2000.
So I was going to see if one day you would drive me to the desert.
Yes.
To Pioneer Town.
Yeah.
In we can take Duke.
In the, what's the name?
In the van.
In the van?
Well, you don't have to. You can take your car, whatever. I just go out there.
Okay.
We started demo yesterday.
You did? Yeah. Oh, that's so great.
Yeah.
What are we building?
We're going to make a barn, a house.
What'd you demo for?
There was some interior in the barn.
Okay.
There was some.
You're making a barn dominium?
Yeah. See you, Carm. Thanks for coming by.
Yeah.
Bye, sweetheart. How does he look?
Good.
Okay.
What classes do we have today?
Strength.
Strength? Are you going to do it or are you working?
I'm doing
sheet. You're doing the class?
Strength every day. If you want to show them, you're.
Who's the teacher?
Handstands.
Jess.
Handstands.
Not Tanisha?
No. I like Tanisha.
I do too. She's my fave.
But she teaches in the morning.
She's but have instructor. You been to Tanisha?
Oh, yeah. No, I haven't. But Pilar talked about going to Tanisha.
She did. Legend of the Lost.
Legend of the Lost. And she did not like it.
Why?
Because it was a long way to get there. Oh. She just had Aisa. She left Aisa at home.
Yeah.
And Dad wanted her there. And she didn't like that.
Well, that's hard.
What time's the class?
Almonds.
I don't know.
Yeah, they're almonds.
Katie got it. I don't have that kind of stuff.
She just wanted to get off camera. Yeah. She didn't care about it.
Is Raw Yoga straight across from me?
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
It's a great place.
Maria goes there when she goes to town.
Start going there when it's RAH. Not until.
Like hoorah.
Like hoorah.
I remember two presents that Dad gave me. One was like a Johnny something gun.
Johnny Getcher.
A Johnny something. It was like a guy, Johnny Quest or something
right,
like that.
Right.
It's like a gun. I was just like, couldn't believe I had it. Couldn't believe it. So excited. And the other thing was, you know, he pushed me towards horses and I just had a craving for the motorcycle when I was a kid. And a bunch of my buddies had little motorcycles and I'd ride those and it drove them crazy. We had a Christmas in Mulegé on the Wild Goose in the Sea of Cortez. And there was a big box, and I never for a minute thought that was my present that was in that box. It was a box like, you know, almost the size of this table, like a big box taped to the floor.
Right.
And ended up being my present. And it was a mini bike.
Oh, my God.
And I almost...
drove it off.
Almost exploded.
I'm sure. Right. Oh my God, how fabulous.
Me and him and Ernie Saftick and Bert were riding that thing up and down the runway there. You know, it's right on the sand.
Did you get a picture of Ernie on a motorcycle?
Yeah, we had pictures of him.
I mean, on the mini bike.
And Tommy did a podcast with us.
I listened. It was fabulous.
Oh, good. He's such a nice guy.
I don't know if you ever saw this picture. You know, I thought it was Chris Mitchum because of the outfit.
Oh, it's Michael Ian.
And that's you.
It's Everett Creech, me, Everett Michael, Creech. Ian, Michael, you, and Dad. Yeah. It's awesome.
It's awesome.
It's an awesome photo. And that.
He looks like Chris Mitchum in the distance.
Yeah, he's got his outfit on.
Got the outfit on. Which
I can remember. So this is on Big Jake, and Everett Creech was the stunt guy. And he made a motorcycle, which was a Montesa 360. I know, what's his name, said different during our panel, but
yeah,
I
Chris Mitchum
have a motorcycle, so I know that it's not that. But Everett actually went to local motocross races in Mexico and raced while we were down there. And I thought that was kind of funny. Like, if he was your stunt guy, I'd be like, hey, why would I pay you if you're going to go do it for free?
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Like, I was working on either Knight Rider or BJ and the Bear. It was a motorcycle day. And we're up at some fairgrounds, and there was like the good guys on dirt bikes, and the bad guys were on choppers.
Oh my God!
And I was doing wheelies along this long parking lot, you know, and one of the ADs come up and he goes, "Hey, why would we pay you if you're going to do it for free?" And I'm like, "Yes, sir." That thing away. Wait my turn. Wait till you tell me what to do.
Let me sign the stunt contract.
You want to get a bump for that wheelie.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway. Yeah, you could be like Danny and say you can do it. And then, you know, like never been on a horse. And he says, "Oh, yeah, I can jump on the back of a horse."
Well, as an actor, you say everything.
Yeah.
That's exactly what you say. I can do everything.
Oh, my gosh. Good job.
Yeah, those were good days. Yeah, I remember getting that motorcycle. I was really excited. And
I remember the one that was like a, did it fold? Was it like a folding?
Oh, that was called a Go Devil.
He Go bought Devil, those. Okay. Yeah,
he bought those things. I don't know why. But it was like a metal frame with an engine in it, and it had like a big wide seat that was on like just an old hinge. It would lift up. And then you could fold the front part, like a little floorboard, and the little front tire and the handlebars would come out. You'd like lift the handlebars out and stick them in, and you pulled this
perfect
thing 4,000 times before it would start.
You know his whole deal with motorcycles, right?
No.
Okay, when he was a kid, he bugged his dad for a motorcycle. Bugged and bugged and bugged. Yeah, he bugged. He bugged this guy for a motorcycle. They said, no. Finally, the guy agreed to get him a motorcycle.
Clyde?
Clyde.
Wow.
Got him a motorcycle. Now, he's used to riding the bicycle with the foot brake, you know, with the coaster brake.
Uh-huh.
So he gets on this thing and he's flying down here and, you know, he comes up to a stop sign and he goes to hit the brake with his foot, you know, coaster brake. There's no brake down there on the motorcycle. It's a hand thing. And he lays this thing down sideways, skids like this, gets up and walks away and never got on a motorcycle again.
Really?
That was it for him and the motor. I want this thing. And I don't want it anymore.
Well, maybe he had those thoughts of... because...
He knew you.
You know, motorcycle, it takes years to really learn how to ride well. Yeah. Especially if you end up on the street or something, it's just...
Yeah. Bad place. Yeah.
It's a listen, lot. If you it end takes up, a lot of experience before you're really
but
good.
But you were very good on horseback. You had ribbons. I remember you had like the blue ribbons hanging on your wall in your room, and like you were doing very well.
Like in competition,
jumping.
Like Western show. You know, I started where I could only take the thing in with the halter, and I had to walk him through all the stuff. Like when I was really, really little, and then I got on the back, and you know, you ride, you go through gates, you jump over stuff, you change leads, you
it was like
go the, over logs.
That's fun.
Yeah.
That's like the road to
eventing
the horse.
Or
but it was
kind of like that, but
it was,
for kids.
You know, when we were on location, then it was every day. You got a horse, you'd ride, you'd take care of it, you're involved. That was like, you know, I'd get driven to a place that was 40 minutes away by a stranger, and then this guy'd spit on my head because of curly hair. He'd spit chewing tobacco on my hair, slick it down. And they'd tell me to do this weird stuff, and I was like,
This
is alien. I didn't get it, you know. And then I'd go to this thing, and there'd be people, and they go, you ride your horse out, and give you the ribbon or whatever.
Number 11.
Just like, I remember the dude would get me there. He goes, "On the way home, he drove a Volkswagen Bug." it was Cota de Casa. It was an old road. There was a steep hill that you came down. I can't remember the name of the road. It wasn't El Toro. It was like something else. So at the top, he'd put the Bug in neutral, and he'd coast it. And he'd go, "If we get to 60, I'll get you a cheeseburger at McDonald's." Now, you know, me and whoever the other kid was, we'd just be looking at that dial creeping up.
48, 49.
And, you know, now I understand he was controlling the whole thing time.
That's so funny.
Man, get those little cheeseburgers.
Who was it? Gilligiri. Do you know who?
Yeah.
Okay, so he said, last time I was with him, he said, "Oh, yeah, Ethan and my daughter used to ride at the same stable."
At Cota de Casa.
Different place. Now, I have two horse stories with John Wayne. Doing Comancheros and playing a Texas Ranger. And in one scene, I'm riding along, and the camera is very close to the truck. You know, they look at the dailies. And it's awful. And my dad just reads the riot act to me. "You're going to learn to ride a horse. You're getting out of this business." And, oh, God, so humiliating in front of all these people and everything. So I had a few weeks before the movie's over. I went out every day and I rode and I rode and I rode. Did the shot again. Worked out fine. So now Big Jake comes up. And on Big Jake, I'm reading the script. I'm going to have to ride bareback on this movie. So I go to Everett Creech. I'm going like, I got to ride bareback in this movie. So I worked out with Everett Creech for like 4 weeks every day. I go over to this place in the corral. I ride bareback. Change the range, change the lead, get on, get off, cow, you know, Pony Express, Cooper Mount, everything. I could do it all, and I'd ride backwards on this thing. I was change the gates from walk to trot to gallop, back. Get ready to go to the movie, Big Jake. First day I'm going to be riding with them. The scene is Bruce Cabot, JW, and myself. We're riding up to a bluff. We're going to stop there. We're walking along to this bluff, and then we're going to stop and do something. So I'm on this horse, and I'm bareback, and we're going across this shale that's on a bias like this. My horse hits the shale and starts to slip.
Oh.
And so I grab him to stay balanced, and I'm wearing spurs.
Oh, my gosh.
And I goose this guy, and he takes off. I shot by Bruce and JW. They didn't know what had happened. I'm going like crazy like this. All of a sudden, I hit the deck. And fortunately, there were rocks everywhere. I landed in the grass. And I'm just sitting there. I'm thinking, you know, my life flashed in front of me because, you know, a minute is going to pass. And then there's going to be this big guy come up to me and read me the new riot act. He was so cool. He got off. He says, are you okay? And everything. I said, yeah. He says, you hurt nothing but my pride. But yeah, I'm okay. You know, it didn't matter what I did the rest of the movie. That asshole can't ride bareback. You know, they just, you know, it didn't matter. You know, I was doing all kinds of stuff on this horse. Like, no, he can't ride bareback.
Trick riding, Roman riding.
Oh, it didn't matter. It didn't matter.
That's pretty funny.
Did you ever celebrate any holidays like Christmas or Thanksgiving with him on location?
No, I mean, every Thanksgiving that I recall with him was at Stanfield, Arizona. Or Casa Grande, wherever we were, mm-hmm. in the big bull barn. And the other holidays were at home, but they were great. I remember one Christmas. I know, I was scratching the chair again. I know. You hate the sounds.
Just don't want it to interfere with the audio.
My mom had polio or pneumonia or something. I don't know. She was bedridden. We were downstairs, and he came over to bring the presents and all the stuff, and he carried Josie downstairs. And I thought, yeah, this is a great commission. But, you know, most of the Christmases are bad because, you know, it was like, you know, I'm with my mom and I'm with him.
Yeah.
You know, it was a separated deal. Sorry. It was that was the only one that wasn't really, you know, felt connected. Most of them were like that.
But then as you got older with your own family and your own kids, and I remember you guys coming, you'd come down to Newport and probably a quick visit. But
yeah, it was always
long enough to go to Will Wright's.
Yeah.
Yeah, but they were just never long enough, you know.
Did you come down here with him when you were, like, before we moved down here? Did you guys come down on vacation here when you were kids?
Here, but I mean, we'd come down and get on a boat and go over to Catalina. Yeah, he had the Norwester before the Wild Goose, and we would go over there.
The Norwester is up in the Pacific Northwest.
It's still on the floating?
Some guy was trying to do something with it. I don't know, some kind of Airbnb or something with it. And they spent a bunch of money trying to get it going. And then I saw a picture of it the other day, just on a rock, you know, about 6 feet down.
I'm so sorry.
Just where the water is, like, you know, the top of it sticking out.
That's not good.
So I don't know what they'll do to it.
She was a dream boat.
I think they got her and restored her now.
This is after.
Oh,
yeah.
It happened again?
Mm-hmm. Oh. Yeah, so I don't know what the end thing is.
I love that Norwester. She was smaller, didn't handle, you know, as big a, you know, guest crew or anything, but she was yar.
There's some great movies that I'd never seen before of Uncle Bob and Dad.
Yeah.
And I think Augusto and Nanny and Pilar on that boat hamming it up.
Yeah.
Just having a good old time. And he had like a hang tension. He had like a tight t-shirt on, like striped, like blue and white striped, with like a
kind of
a big collar and the things tight on his arms. He looked great.
Oh, God.
He looked great.
Oh my God.
And I love the picture of him and Josie and Michael. They're on a dock and Michael's on like a little pillow.
Baby.
Like a little round pillow.
Oh, that the king.
Baby. It's like a little pillow prince. Or something.
Aww, they were like superstars. They were gorgeous.
Yeah.
God. Top of the game right there.
Is that the one? There was no baby in that photo.
It's in the exhibit. Yeah. It's in the exhibit. Yeah, and Michael's sitting on a little
there's a couple velour photo of my mom.
Where she's in a bathing suit. They're suits.
She's got the great legs. She always had, gosh, until she was 95.
I mean,
had great
she's
legs.
Gorgeous at every age. She was a wonderful lady. Funny, funny.
Any direction you want?
Holiday.
I don't do anything. I'm just kidding.
For Halloween?
I'm just kidding.
It's so funny.
I don't do
you know what? You know what's funny now? Like, I went to Maria's wedding down in San Juan Capistrano, and I get stressed because now I'm at an age where I'm like, one, I can't recognize the ones that I knew when they were kids.
Right.
And then there's twins, and I'm like, I don't know which one. And then now they're all married and they have kids. And so I walk in and I'm just like, oh my God.
Yeah, it's a handful.
There's 100.
Yes.
There's 100.
Yeah.
100
bodies.
Grandkids. 100
kids.
100 kids, grandkids, and great grandkids.
Great, great grandkids and spouses.
So the
some that are not so great, but they're all good.
Yeah.
It's a lot.
It's a lot.
And, you know, at one point there was a lot, but it wasn't 100, and we all knew everybody's name, and now we're like, hey, how you doing? Good, good. Nice to see you.
And I still do that.
Was that...
I still do that.
Well, you know, now that you're older, you can chalk it up to...
They're full grown. They have families of their own.
Right. These are the kids that you know, this is John Swift, who you took up the mountain in Catalina, and he slid down and hit the cactus plant.
John. He survived.
Do you remember John when he was little?
Yeah.
He was never little. He was little.
Not really.
Yes, he was little.
He was stocky.
And he would only say,
now he's trim, right?
There was like a year where all I would say is, I. Like a pirate. I. Hey, John, you want a sandwich? I.
Oh, for goodness sake.
He's four. He's 4 or 5. Little blonde headed kid.
Totally.
Literally the only thing that came out of his mouth. I'm like, hey, Anita, we're going to Catalina. Can the kid, like, does he go to the bathroom by himself? Like, if he's self-sufficient, I'll take him. But not going in the can with
him,
I'm
not wiping his butt.
He had
so
a new word.
Like, no, he's good. So, you know, he's had his pirate thing. We went over there. We went on a hike. And, you know, where you hike up the plateau and you go to the by Moonstone.
Near the airport?
And right there at Moonstone.
Twin Harbor.
White's Cove.
Oh, the plateau.
So we're hiking up. It's kind of steep, and he's got a little thing. Sometimes your foot slides. Well, he slides, and his butt hits the ground, and somehow the kid starts screaming, like his back is broken, like something awful's happened, like screaming. Something's really hurting.
Was he screaming?
And I'm going,
I?
What? What? And he's just screaming. He's pointing like this. Ah! So I'm looking at him, and I'm like, Jesus Christ, what's going on? Amy's there, you know, we're looking at each other. I don't know what to do. I don't see anything. He's like, in my butt or something like that. So I'm like, on the side.
Weird Uncle Ethan.
We got him to say some more words. No, that's
so
beautiful.
So I have to take his little shorts, you know, and I like pull his shorts down, and his butt's there. In between his little cheeks, there's literally a cactus thorn, I don't know, 4 or 5 inches long. It's all the way in the cheeks, you know?
Oh.
So I'm like, oh, Jesus. I'm like, okay, hold on. So I have to grip the thing. And it's like, bah, you know,
you got
it finally comes out. The minute that thing comes out, he just goes like this. Ah! He lets out a noise like that of total relief. And he's smiling and he's happy.
Oh, for God's sake. That is so strange.
I turn him around, I look at him, I'm like, don't tell your parents.
How old was he?
Probably four or five. He got up, he brushed his teeth, he went to the bathroom by himself, like all that stuff. But he was little. You know, he walked around kind of.
No, I've had that happen on him.
hike. Like,
oh, really?
My ankle. Yeah.
Never seen that before.
How about, have you ever come back from Catalina, going back to the mainland in an 18 foot whaler? Oh. Surf is choppy, surf is up, and Ethan's driving at 11.2 miles an hour. And I'm in the back, and the seats are covered with plastic. Nice to hold on to. The seats are covered with plastic. He hit a bump, and I go out. I'm going out of this boat.
He was trying to get rid of you.
And he did a good job. And so the boat goes like this. And then waves come up.
Oh,
and I know I'm in the middle of the channel where there are more sharks.
I was just going to say, it's the deepest part.
And so I'm thinking, what's going to happen? I mean, how is he ever going to find me? He disappeared. I'm this big in the water. I can't, you know, all of a sudden, the boat comes back like this. He pulls alongside me, and he reaches down, and he grabs me by the arm, and he goes like this, and stands me up in the boat.
Oh, my God.
He said, and I had a beach towel on my. I mean, not only that, I weighed
like
287 pounds with this thing. Just snatched me out like ripping a car door off an automobile that's on fire. One of those kind of things.
He didn't want to have to answer to any of his other brothers and sisters as to how he lost them.
And he turned to me and he says, "Don't tell your parents." I said, "They're both dead, Ethan. It's not going to happen. You don't have to worry about that."
Oh, yeah. That was after a few Mai Tais, too.
Oh, we did. God. We were hammering it.
You know, in the afternoon, sometimes you're coming back from Kelly and the water's like dark gray and it's windy. It's not cold yet, but it's not inviting looking.
Right.
Yeah, and we were going over the swells, getting airborne, and we just got up on one and he was holding onto the seat. And it's like when the boat goes down, but his body stayed in the air.
That's what happened.
He just hit the water, like in a total, like just hanging on position, going about 45.
Boat under me.
That was funny. Oh, sorry about that.
Yeah, but it's scary. No, you got him. It was scary.
It's kind of a Christmas story.
He was back so fast that I couldn't. You know, fortunately, I hadn't started crying yet.
Nancy was on the boat. That's probably the last time I've seen Nancy.
You saw her
in Texas. Yeah.
You saw her in Texas. Yeah.
But that was probably around the last time that I saw her before this trip to Texas.
Yeah. And that's 24 years because Matthew's 24. Yeah. And so when we were doing the panel, Nancy came from Hawaii. She was going to England.
That's nice.
And they happened to be in Texas at the same time with John and Robert, her two other children.
Oh, okay.
And so they came to the panel.
And we had dinner with them. Yeah, it was really cool. Nice kids.
How old are those guys?
20s? Like, mid-20s?
Right. Well, the older boy is 21. The other kid is, 16.
Oh, okay.
He's 6'5".
What's going on?
Oh, my God. Huge kid.
Is he coming?
No.
No? All right. Oh, I've had more wine than I allocate for myself all year today.
Oh my God. Were you drinking with Richard first?
Is there an owl?
Okay.
He was drinking the tequila first.
How about the difference between.
What's up, that up there?
Just flowers.
Okay.
Maybe it just looks bird like.
Looks nice.
It's beautiful. It's really
pretty. It's very nice. No thanks, really. Oh, gee, I meant to say that later after you started pouring.
What's the difference?
That's great.
Do you remember the difference between Christmas when Mom and Dad were in the same house as opposed to Christmas once they moved to separate?
Yeah, that's a good thing to remember because that's more like my deal.
No, you know what? Dad was always just kind of the one that
did Christmas.
Like made it super festive. And when they separated, you know, I don't remember I remember thinking it was going to be this huge, awful thing. But then after a while, it was just kind of like, they were very nice to each other. They still played bridge together. They had, you know, a good friendship. And although we didn't really spend holidays together, I still felt like we had that, maybe it's just the foundation of growing up in Bay Shores and having that Christmas there. And it continued.
See, I didn't know they still played bridge together after they separated. I couldn't imagine playing bridge with Misha after we separated. Right.
Woo.
Yeah.
That's such a different deal.
Yeah, I can't imagine that they did it either. I just remember like I had a homey feeling at one point.
Yeah.
And then when it was when
double deal.
Yeah, then
it has a different meaning. It's not the same meaning as Christmas as a family unit. It doesn't.
A little different. Yeah. I liked it better when everybody was together.
Of course.
I wish Aisa was here because I just remembered there was a linen closet in the hallway in this long hallway. And she hid in the linen closet and like jumped me. Like got me from the back. You know, had my like my knees were bent forward and my thing was back. We got
was this when you like, were like Kato. 18?
We had and like full on brawl.
She had to go to
at the Bayshore like House?
8 or 9 years
ago. Yeah. In that long pantry.
Yeah.
She was smart. She went to sneaky lengths to get take advantage of it.
And then I had a room there, but my room was like added on. So I couldn't get to it unless I went through Aisa's room.
Right, right.
Or I went through my dad's bathroom. I tried not to go through the bathroom.
Depending on what time of night it was. I remember going down there when during the summer and staying at your dad's house. And
this Bayshores?
Bayshores. And I brought a couple of friends with me, and we all slept in the guest room, you know, that front room. And of course, he wanted, you know, he said, you go sleep with Aisa, right? Well, I knew Aisa was going to come in late and get in trouble, and I didn't want to be in there when that happened. So I just slept in the room with them. And he comes in the morning. He's like, did you all sleep in here? I said, well, yeah, two of us slept in the bed and one of us slept on the floor. It was fine.
It's camping.
Oh my, these people are going to go home and tell their parents that they had to sleep on the floor at my house.
That's very funny. that's him.
Right?
You know, Aisa's room was the office out there before it was an office. Yeah. Do you remember that?
I do remember that.
I remember going out there and she had a Led Zeppelin album playing and I was like, what is this? This is good.
This is awesome. I want this room.
I don't know what this is, but this is good. Yeah.
Oh my God.
Well, Patrick was the first person to play a Beatles album for me.
That was my job.
Yep.
Patrick, play the Beatles album.
Take care of Anita for 5 minutes. Turn on that album.
I got two great Beatles stories. Beatles came to California in 64. They played at in L.A. at the Hollywood Bowl. Got tickets to the Hollywood Bowl. The local DJ goes, and now, ladies and gentlemen, the Beatles! Last thing you ever heard. Screams from women and teenagers and girls for the next 45 minutes for an hour.
Wow.
The Beatles were on stage. Never heard a thing. Never heard a note. They leave fade out. Yeah, the girls are screaming so loud. So I go to, I did a movie called Cheyenne Autumn. I'm going to PA tour and I'm in London. Stephanie Powers is there doing a movie. We go out to dinner and after dinner we go to Annabelle's and we're walking through Annabelle's and Judy Garland is sitting there and she's had a couple of drinks and she says, oh, you're such a lovely couple. I want you to meet my friends, George, Paul, John, and Ringo.
Yeah.
Sitting right there, the Beatles.
Wow.
I told him the story. I'm going like, I couldn't believe it. We never heard a note. He says, oh, yeah, Mike, that was everywhere we went. That's what happened. Yeah. Oh, they were funny.
There's some new footage of them that's been colorized.
Yeah,
I haven't seen it, but I saw an advertisement for it.
It won't be on YouTube.
Well, I got rid of DirecTV. I have no cable. I only have YouTube.
It's not going to be
there. Or Hulu or Amazon.com. I have Apple TV.
Oh, you only have cable? Do you have cable?
Oh, yeah. You got smart TV. He's
no,
got the smart
I have,
TV.
I have just the apps on the television.
Yeah.
And
okay.
They come on.
So it comes up on YouTube as an advertisement.
YouTube TV.
Well, this comes up on YouTube as an advertisement. Okay. Yeah. You know, it gives you like a 5 second advertisement before it starts.
More than that. Yeah. But yeah.
Looks really interesting. Can't wait to watch that. So cool.
Get what back. Was the one they just did a few years ago about the Beatles? It was really good.
Yesterday?
Is it yesterday?
The movie where he was in an altered universe?
Yeah.
Where the kid was singing all the Beatles songs?
Yes.
Yesterday.
Okay.
Oh, that's a great one.
That's a great one. Oh, it's a great
where
one.
Where he hits his head, right? Yeah. That was so funny.
And he's going like, oh, you don't know this song? No, it's great. It's great. But then there was like, some people that came in and they're like, I think they get it. And I don't know.
What,
do you listen to classic rock ever?
Sometimes, yeah.
Sometimes. Because you were dialed in on new music.
Is like, there another station besides classic rock?
Like I went to Grit, you know?
And right.
It's in the black room. There's blue lights.
Oh, right. And it's pop, pop, pop.
Yeah. And I'm thinking, this is like, you know, this is cutting edge rap or whatever you call it. What kind of music is that? What do you call that?
It's like rap. Techno.
Contemporary rap, bad words, like, you know. Yeah. And you're up on the podium doing the spin class. Mm-hmm. You got the microphone. Music and playing? I was thinking to myself, wait a minute. She's 55 years old.
Easy.
And these other gals, like all these gals are in their 50s. I'm almost 60. Da da motherfucker. And it's like, just I don't throw know an MF
every once in a while.
I don't know any of it. I know, and she knows the words. That's like if you saw a 40-year-old virgin.
Like yeah,
Leslie Mann, I think she sang all those words.
She was so funny.
Oh, she was funny. She was so funny, and she knew all the words. And she's a grown up.
Journey is playing, isn't that? Oh, Kansas.
Oh, Kansas.
Kansas. Kansas.
Carry on, my favorite song. But that's a different kind of music. There'll be peace when you are done.
That's classic rock.
My leisure.
That's classic rock.
That's music I did to motivate people, and I was mild compared to a lot of the stuff.
I'm sort of sounds of the 60s and 70s in my head, and I don't wander far from there.
Nope.
Like, I just,
there was no, it's just no, where there's I'm no at. Other music besides the 60s.
I mean, I like
70s.
Lil Nas X, I like the Macarena. there's not a lot that I, no, I mean, you picked good
you
music.
Like Neil Diamond,
Tom Petty,
Neil Young.
Oh, Neil
Young. Yes, Neil Young.
Neil Diamond, come on.
I love Neil Diamond.
Oh, my God.
Neil Young.
There's nothing better than a karaoke Neil Diamond.
You like
the band.
Crosby, Stills,
Nash. Oh, I love the band.
Right. Stills, CCR, Nash. Yes.
Eagles. Yeah. Who's Jackson Owens. Brown.
Who's Righteous the piano Brothers. Guy?
Jackson Brown.
Oh, my God.
Dan Fogelberg.
Wait a minute. Don McLean.
Oh, yeah. Don McLean. Oh, America.
Come on.
America.
Come on.
Horse with no name.
How about Gordon Lightfoot?
Mm. He's a little in the Lightfoot.
James Taylor. Yeah. Jesse Colin Young.
Oh.
Yeah.
Amazing. Yeah.
Yeah.
Live that's where Ronstadt.
I live. That's where I live. Like that's, it or not.
I remember going to.
I'd do a spin class. It'd have to be cruiser bikes. Just all be
how about Toto?
Journey Toto, Kansas. Good, but I just wasn't.
We were all together. We were in New York City.
Weezer.
And we were at a restaurant. I know you were there. We're at a restaurant, we're having dinner, and there's a whole bunch of commotion going on, like in the next room or in the bar or whatever. And we're like, we're trying to have a conversation here, people. Like, what is all the commotion going on? And then when we finally like ended up leaving, they're like, oh, did you hear Mick Jagger? He was in there.
Oh, for God's sake.
Was that right?
Yep. And he was there with Lauren.
Your friend.
Scott,
yeah.
Lauren.
Lauren,
suicide.
Yeah.
I don't remember that.
We were there.
And on the west side, it was a great restaurant. Yep. Michael had two salads, three soups, and a partridge and a pear tree.
Michael Wayne?
He didn't want to go to this restaurant.
Michael Wayne Sr. or Michael Wayne yours?
Michael Wayne Sr.
Oh.
He was there.
No. Not
he
this time.
Was, this he was when we were there such the, a character.
Yeah.
Michael Wayne.
For the auction,
our brother.
Yeah.
Did you no, ever go, did we you ever go to Sammy's Delicatessen?
Sammy's Delicatessen.
And the west side, lower east side, lower west side with Mansell Rubenstein?
In New York City?
Yeah.
No.
Yes, you did.
I haven't been to New York City with Mansell.
You never went to the, what do you call
fashion,
it?
Fashion. Fanny?
Fashion footwear?
No, I've never been to Fanny.
Okay.
That was your other favorite sister.
No, it wasn't any sister. No, it was, you know who it was? It was Maureen Murphy from
Vicente.
And
my
the
cousin.
Girl who used to be the development department.
Amy. I mean,
No.
Alex.
Alex Carter. And Alex Carter, you know, she's prim and proper, all this stuff.
Oh, yeah.
They have bottles of vodka and frozen ice on the table. Pours like syrup in your glass. Ice cold vodka down. Couldn't get enough of that wonderful stuff. She was so wasted.
Alex Carter was?
Who was
I can't
Carter.
Even imagine.
Who worked with her with kind of reddish hair?
Was Alex?
Really nice girl. Worked with Alex. She has a YouTube channel now where she, it's called Downshiftology. Lisa Bryan.
Lisa Bryan. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Lisa Bryan. She has millions of followers.
Millions of followers.
She went to
Children's Hospital with Alex.
Or she went to City of Hope. One of those two things.
Yeah. Now she does her own thing. She lives down here and she does.
Oh, my God.
She does Downshiftology. Check it out. It's an amazing job.
They have a kids yoga on YouTube.
It's called Koga. I know it. I know it well. Ow. That's the third time. Put your arm out here. That's the third time you hit me. Where'd you get that little? Oh, I see. That matches your dress. That's so weird. No, not really. When is Billy Sweet William coming back?
I can't believe that between the 80, 50, 60, 60 something,
I can't believe
we don't have more Christmas stories than this.
Well, I think we veered off the subject quite a few times.
Talk about Christmas presents. Though. When I was little, we got a Surrey with the fringe on top. Let's get back to flocking the tree. At our house.
You did what?
We had a Surrey with the fringe on top delivered at our house, and so did Michael's kids.
To ride in or something?
Yeah. But it was always like the best toys.
I don't know what year I started going to your mom's house for your Christmas thing.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
After Granny moved from Highland.
Right.
When she moved from Highland, then we started the Tony's. And
your house, too.
And you came to my house, too.
Yeah. No, that
went
was
to your
fun.
House a lot.
A lot, yeah.
A lot.
Or yeah. I was at his house a lot, too, when I was Patrick's? First married. When he was doing the Texas stuff, I would go babysit your house.
Yeah, I had custody of Michael and Melanie. And that was great. Yeah, Tim loved that.
Oh, my God. Are you kidding? Anything's better than an apartment.
Laura has a funny story, and I don't know if it's a Christmas story, but I guess she says, you know, Granddaddy told me one time, if you ever want anything or need anything, you know, make sure you ask. And so she really wanted this, I think it was like a jewelry box or something.
Bottini?
Yeah. And her mom's like, no, you're not. And so I guess she called up Dad and said, you know, remember when you said if I ever wanted anything? And he got it for her.
Love it. I love that.
I don't know if that was a Christmas story or whatever, but I was just like, that takes some nerves. Yeah. Well, he said if I ever wanted anything.
Yeah, but you know the woman. Do you know anyone with more nerves than this woman?
No.
Oh, my gosh. She is so great. I don't know where we were, the three of us together. I had so much fun. We were out of town someplace. I'll think of where it was. I don't know.
Yeah,
do you remember those clocks that were like a cat?
Yes.
It looked like a cat, and it had a tail.
Oh, yeah.
One year, we all got the cat clock. And everybody's room, it was like...
From JW?
Yeah.
Year-round, you know, he would sit there, and he would circle the catalog thing, and so he would have all this stuff coming in.
Can you imagine if he saw what Amazon was like?
Oh, my God.
You'd have to take that one click away from
him. Whoa.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
You'd have to block him.
One click. And Pilar is still the same way, right? She still gets catalogs, and she goes through those catalogs every day.
I throw the catalogs out, but I mean, she gets a lot
of catalogs.
I know. They send you catalogs, but you go online and you go to Worry and you get something from Worry, then they'll send you a catalog.
Right.
I don't need a catalog.
Right.
I mean,
I usually cancel those.
Internet is like so. And Amazon, I spend time like making up things in my head and putting it in the search item, and there it is.
And they've got it.
They'll find it.
Totally.
They will find it for you.
Oh, my God. Totally.
I love Amazon.
I love Amazon.
I mean, it's pretty damn convenient.
And it's a pretty good story, too, when Jeff Bezos gets a divorce and the settlement makes his wife the fourth richest woman in the world.
Gotta love it. And she gives it away, the money away, like crazy to schools.
Well, that's good for what her. She should do with it. Yep. Yeah.
Yeah, really nice.
Just kind of getting back to like the whole holiday thing with, you know, spending time with our parents and with Dad and being a parent myself, you know, it's just like, as much as there's, you know, complications with this family member or that family member, it was always just like a really special time. And I'm one of the family members sometimes too. I mean, it's just everybody, you know, nothing ever is like, you know, the perfect Norman Rockwell, but I just remember it being...
No, no. Some places it is.
Very...
Maybe.
I remember it just being very loving.
Sturbridge.
Festive.
Massachusetts.
And, you know, I remember football on and friends over and the boat parade and him having those parties and saying, ho, 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 to the boats. And just it really feeling like such a special time of year. And back then it was like, oh, my gosh. Christmas is so far away, and now it's like, oh my gosh, it's Christmas again, you know?
Exactly. Right? Oh my God, I gotta get home.
It was just, he made, for me at least, you know, I was 13 when he died. Easter, Christmas, Thanksgiving, Halloween, 4th of July, you know, the fireworks and being in Catalina and being so patriotic and the cannon going off every night. I have such fond memories and I want to be able to share that with the kids. But then when you're a kid, you're like, you know, you just
you don't want to listen.
Be with your friends you know, but at least that was instilled. So hopefully when they have their families, it will.
Trust me. They're listening and they're
great. You know, doors are open. Come for Christmas. Always. Come for 4th of July. All those boys lighting off the fireworks was always a little nerve wracking around my younger kids. But it's just, it's wonderful. Wonderful memories and just such a great family to grow up with. And
I felt like he was happy on the set. He was happy on the boat. I felt like home was like the catalogs were a distraction from the shit he had to do. You know, like you wake up sometimes
like the everyday
God,
stuff.
Damn, I have to do this. And you know, he's got the secretaries working. And so when he gets a break and doesn't have to think about responding to so-and-so,
right.
He's like, oh yeah, cat clock. Let's get 10 of those. Oh yeah.
I got 10 girls here. Let's get
cologne
that.
in a glass choo-choo train. Let's get that.
Yeah. That was was going on for him. But for us, I mean, we didn't have, you had a different experience with him. Yeah. You had 13 years with him. I had 4 years with him. And then, you know, these spot things, but the spot things were like amazing because it isn't about quantity. It's about quality. It's about a moment here. We talk about these moments that happen that we remember, and it didn't take a lot of stuff. And I mean, right up to the very end, I mean, the last 4 days of his life, last 7 days of his life, the last 4 days, he was in a coma. And all of a sudden, one night, and we're in a room, we're sitting there, and he comes out of this coma, and he has a conversation for a couple of hours, and he's engaged, and he's humorous, and he's listening, and he's answering, and he's responding for about 2 hours. Then he goes out again and never came to again, and you know, he passed away 3 days later. But that was a moment. I mean, that was an amazing moment with this guy. And when he woke up, I thought, you know, maybe he's never going to die. Maybe he's going to still live. Maybe he's going to be amazing. Didn't work out that way, but he did wake up, say goodbye to, I like to think, people he cared about.
Where were you staying at the Westwood Marquis there? And who was looking after you?
Pat Stacy
was? Mm-hmm. Because nobody was looking after me at that place.
No, Aisa was there. And Patrick, the day that Dad died, I woke up super early and I couldn't go back to sleep. And I thought, well, I'm just going to walk to the hospital. And it was like 5:30 in the morning and you were already there. Patrick was already there. And you were talking to Dr. Longmire. This may have been later in the morning, but you're like, come here. I need to talk to you. The doctors say that, you know, Dad's probably going to pass this morning at some point, and I just want you to be prepared. And I remember the shirt you had on, and I was like, okay. And I went in, and I had time alone with him, and I got to say goodbye. And, you know, it was supposed to be that morning, and he hung on until like 5:30 that afternoon. And I just think, you know, with every breath, he did not want to leave.
He'd give up.
And he didn't want to give up. And he fought through so much, you know, pain. To be there.
Awful.
So awful. Anyway, I mean, you talk you about for being there that morning.
I'm your brother, what am I going to do? I mean, he's got a reputation for being this he-man guy and full of courage and everything. The greatest exhibit of courage I ever saw in him was the last 6 weeks of his life. I mean, this guy was in pain. He had bed sores the size of a cantaloupe on his body. They wouldn't heal. They didn't have the technology to move him and all that stuff. You don't get bed sores today. Then you got bed sores. Never complained about anything. Yeah, I remember trying to help him stand up, and I was getting him balanced, and he was pulling the other way, and you know, everything was all kind of haywire. But he wanted to get up, and he wanted to walk down the hall and talk to the other patients, and God, he had no strength, nothing in his body. I don't know what was driving him, but what it was courage. I mean, he had courage. He what you're talking about, that's what he was fighting with, was courage.
And he had a zest for life, you know, he really did.
100%.
And no matter where he went,
100%.
He charged through, yeah.
And he liked talking to people. Exactly. Like, you know, sometimes we all go out and we do our stuff, and, you know, at the end of the day, it's like, okay, I just want to go home and I'm done talking. But he would sit there and just chit chat and talk and get to know people and then think of something thoughtful to send them or do for them. You know, he was really such a wonderful human being.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that there was a quality about him. When he walked into a room, honestly, God, it was like E.F. Hutton speaks. Everyone stopped. The whole room would stop and they would turn to him. And I told this, I'm going to finish this story first. But if you sat down and had a conversation with him, you would feel like you've known him all your life and you would feel so comfortable and relaxed with him. He had that ability to, so disarming and charming at the same time, to make you relax. I was telling this story on our panel when we did the Big Jake panel. This movie, Big Jake, started. It was the first time I'd ever worked on a film that John Wayne was in where he wasn't there. We worked the first 2 days. We had a crew. We went there. It was a vision. We worked on all that stuff. The third day he came, it was like a completely different place. Everybody popped too. Everybody's focused. Everybody did their job. And it was like, I was like standing outside, I was watching this. And I realized, you know, this is the kind of, that's what he generated. That's what he engendered in people.
Well, I remember Kim Darby said to me that she adored him. And she goes, you know, the first day on the set, I'm thinking I'm all that, and I showed up late, and you know, everybody was mad and everything. The next morning, or that afternoon, your grandfather came over and said to me, "You know, you're making all of these people wait, and you're acting like you're a lot more important. But really, you need to be at the makeup tent at, you know, 15 minutes before everybody is supposed to be there." And she goes, "You know what? He didn't dress me down in front of everybody. He said it to me, and I've never forgotten it, and I loved him for it." And that's one thing he was a professional. No mm-hmm. matter what, yeah. he was there, he was doing his job, and he, you know, he never made you feel less than.
Yeah. No, the people that he disagreed with, he treated them with respect. And that's
why they loved
him. That's what's lacking in this day and age. But that's the way that's where we need to start. We need to start with respect. Mm-hmm. Everybody's different. Everybody has a different point of view. You're entitled to it. I feel differently. I respect you for your opinion. Let's move from there.
Exactly.
Did you get a car when you were young?
I did.
You got a car?
I did.
Oh my What'd God.
You get? DeSoto. I got a DeSoto. I got to pick out what I wanted. I got a fire engine red station wagon.
Wow.
Drove it to New Orleans. Say again.
A DeSoto is a station wagon.
No, a DeSoto is a
car
Chrysler yeah. car.
Oh, okay.
And the model I got was a station wagon. They had sedans and so forth and so on, but I wanted a station wagon. Fire engine red. What an idiot.
Every cop stopped.
You. Every 5 minutes I got stopped for this thing. So the next car I got was that black car.
black and white.
A Blazer? Didn't you have a Blazer? Was that later?
No, that was after he died.
You had the dune buggy?
I had the dune buggy. The dune buggy didn't really work. So then I was allowed to drive that Blazer.
I was allowed to drive that Blazer.
But it was like restricted. And then
I'm sorry.
It was restricted use. But I did drive him. The first time I drove to LA was driving him to the hospital. Because we went somewhere. And then he said, you got to take me to the hospital. I'm like, man, I have no idea where UCLA is. Like, I don't know how to get there. And I can't remember exactly what he said. But I remember he just grabbed a pillow and crawled in the back.
Oh, my God.
And laid down.
I'm so sorry.
You were?
I think I was in the car with you. I remember that night.
That's awful.
But you can't just put it in Waze. You know, back then it was.
No. You had to look at the Thomas guide.
No, you got to go to a gas station somewhere.
We went up and I remember we pulled to the front and there was some photographers there. He goes, go around back. And I'm like, you know, you're like, I'm looking. I'm like,
where is the back?
Like, where is back?
Yeah, that was a huge place.
That's a big responsibility.
But then I don't know, like, at what point I ended up with that blazer, because I ended up with that blazer. For years and years and years.
Did you have a blazer? I love that blazer. Was it a two door?
It was a two door.
Chick Iverson blazer.
Had like a,
I love that blazer.
I don't know. When I worked at Chick Iverson's. He said he's going to make me an environmental engineer. And I was like, oh, cool.
Sweet.
Cleaning the bathroom.
Get rid of the gas.
And I worked
in
the parts department. Then I worked in the service department.
You could get me an EXLQ212. Yeah. It's on shelf number 19. I'll get that.
He was great. And then like on Tuesday or Wednesday nights, you could put your own car on the lift and, you know, take the oil and do stuff like that, work on your own car.
Oh.
And I had that blazer then. But I don't know if they, like, I couldn't tell you if it was in my name or in Bat Jack's name or what the deal was.
Did it really matter?
No, I just don't remember. I don't think it was ever mine.
Yeah, put in your name.
Yeah.
By the way, this DeSoto station wagon, when I got rid of it, when I got this Pontiac Grand Prix, Emmett, Bob Morrison, took it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I don't know how long he drove that thing or how many tickets he got.
Who's Emmett? What's that? Was that
his middle name? I'm sorry. His middle
Robert
name.
Morrison's middle name?
Yeah.
Oh, Robert, I didn't know.
Did you call him Emmett?
Yeah.
Oh.
I called him Emmett.
I think he died before I was born, right? I've never met
What
him.
Year?
What year were you born?
Oh, yeah. 66. Yeah, year before. Yeah. You were born the same year as my son, Michael. 66, right?
Mm-hmm. Was he around at Christmas? Like,
he was definitely at the Encino house. I definitely remember the Encino house.
He was at my grandmother's house.
Really?
He and Pat, yeah.
Oh, and he
was. The McLaglins were too, yeah.
Hmm. He would come. That was great. He said, he was in the hospital in St. Joe's in Burbank. And I would go over and see him in the afternoon. I said, well, what are you doing? He says, I'm saving up my sleeping pills to commit suicide. Did I ever tell you the story? He said, when they were talking about making this movie, True Grit, and they had a production meeting, Hathaway and my dad, Morrison was in there and Michael was in there. He wasn't, and Hal Wallace. And I didn't know when Michael was in there. He told me the story. And so they were discussing this front. He says, you know, they requires that he wears an eye patch. And my dad goes, like, I don't know. Kirk Douglas just wore one in a movie. Burt Lancaster. I feel like I'm copying everybody else. The eye patch, yes. The eye patch, no. He's going back and forth. And Bob Morrison says, why don't you wear a hearing aid? Now, this is a serious damn meeting. This is a serious damn meeting. And, you know, my dad looked over and, like, you know, he's ready to strangle him like that. And my brother, you know, Michael, our brother, was like, you know.
That's funny.
Oh, Finn, here's Finn. Wanted to do with a hearing aid.
That is really funny.
Oh, I know it. I mean,
because there's tension between Michael and Hal Wallace, because Michael tried to produce it. And he didn't get it. And then he ended up saying yes to Hal Wallace.
Yeah.
So there's that whole interaction with him and that son.
Oh, yeah.
And then he's got his brother in there.
Yeah.
Who he's employing, right?
Yeah.
Oh, an iPad. Oh, why don't you wear a hearing aid?
Yeah. Why is he with a hearing aid? Oh, yeah. That went over like a lead balloon.
That's awesome. Did you have a hard stop at 4:00?
It would help, but, you know, I don't know. I'm going to just do my best.
We've got 2 minutes.
I want to say, too, you know, one of my best memories was being on the boat in Mexico for Easter. And we used to go down there every Easter. And we're on the Wild Goose. And my dad said, don't come out. Don't come down. Just, you know, wait, wait, wait. And I really kind of didn't know what was going on. And he set up a whole Easter egg hunt for me with clues. So there'd be a little note by the egg, and it would say, and I'd think, okay, where would that be? Okay, that's up in the, you know, in the galley. And then it took me a while, and he was very creative. And then the last thing said, lucky 11 hits the spot. And I was 11 years old, and it was in the salon. He'd put an egg and $11 at the end of the Easter egg hunt, like by the Sinatra 8-track tape.
Well done. 8-track tape, can you imagine? 8-track tape.
Okay. Do you remember the 8-track tapes that were on the boat?
I remember Glen Campbell, Frank Sinatra, Glow Little Glow.
The Mills Brothers. Oh, my God. Glow one. Because they played them over and over again. How did you forget them?
The Beatles, Let It Be. To this day, like, I know the next song that's coming, the next song that's coming, the next song that's coming. Yeah.
8-track, right?
8-track.
Are you serious? Yeah.
8-track.
Greg Munoz had it in his car. He had an 8-track and forever.
I have an 8-track right next to my Betamax at home right now. I'm not kidding you.
Yeah, that was fun.
Oh my God, that's so funny. You remember the names of the album over?
Because they played all day long.
No Dino, Dino Martino.
There was no XM radio. There was Dean Martin. There's Frank Sinatra.
There's probably like 10.
Mills Brothers. I don't remember the
Beatles. The Mills Brothers played.
The Beatles played.
Listening to Billy Joel.
Up a lazy river by the old mill run. And then, I wish I had a paper doll that I could call my own and have a fickle
that is?
Minded real life girl.
Oh my God, I think that's hysterical.
I love the songs that started slow and then got fast. Like Paper Doll. And the Beatles, they do that. The song will start slow and then it turns into like kind of louder.
Yeah,
like starts moving.
Live and Let Die.
Oh, Live and Let Die is a good one.
Start slowing.
When you were young, and you were young. You thought live and let live. And now you're
old.
Old. I can't remember the rest of the song.
Live and Let Die.
Bam! Here we go.
Good memories. But what about Christmas? Is this really all the goddamn Christmas stories we have?
I didn't know we had a theme. I didn't realize this was the theme.
It was Christmas and Thanksgiving.
This is a Thanksgiving show.
Oh, it's Thanksgiving.
Okay, why are we talking about Thanksgiving?
I thought it was holiday because we're, you know. So,
I mean, there was a guy at the Thanksgiving bull sales that would like bid up and bid up and bid up. Occasionally, he got stuck with a bull and he'd go to my dad and go, I can't buy that.
Okay, wait. Hors d'oeuvres at the bull sale. Frog legs.
Yep.
Cuisse de grenouille.
And chicken. What?
Calf
chicken
fries.
Chicken gizzards. Like, what were those chewy?
Yeah.
Calf fries.
Oh, calf fries, of course.
Yeah, but calf fries all together.
Were they gizzards?
Yeah.
Like gizzards, real chewy things?
Yeah, they were.
I mean,
then calf balls. Rocky Mountain oysters.
I don't remember that. I remember frog legs and something from a chicken that was really chewy. And I loved it. I loved
the gizzards.
Yeah, I loved them. So good. We were in Lone Pine. We're doing the run, the Grit Series run. And we're in this restaurant, I mean, literally, like, there's 1,000 pictures of John Wayne in there. And we're ordering, and I see liver and onions on the thing. And I'd seen some YouTube thing about how good liver is for you. So I'm like, hey, if I get a liver and onions, would you guys all taste it? You know, oh, yeah, we'll try it. I remember, like, it was horrible to me when I was a child.
Right.
Traumatizingly horrible. So bad. So they bring out liver and onions. I cut off a big fat hog of this thing and pop it in.
Never gave anybody a bite.
Oh no! I almost lost it. It was so hard to get that down. Oh, and the other person at the table that tried it, little Sarah, the girl that does all the runs, she was like sweating and green.
I wish I were there. I would have eaten that whole damn thing.
Them really?
I love liver since I was depleted. This
really?
Big. Yeah,
it's good for you, but I can't.
I don't know if it's that good for you. I mean, I don't know. There's a place in.
If you have an iron deficiency.
There's a place in Texas, in Dallas. You know where the mansion is? Turtle Creek.
Yeah.
There's a converted gas station, a French restaurant. They serve liver with pepper sauce on it. Now you can get liver and bacon, liver and onions, liver with pepper sauce. I don't care how it's served. It is so good.
Is it tender?
I'll try it there.
Huh? Is it tender? It's going to be right next door to Coast Cycle at Turtle Creek.
You're going to spin in liver.
Hey, are you got a place in Turtle Creek?
It's going to, yeah. Well, we're working on it, yeah.
But that's the area?
Yeah. Yeah. You can walk there from the mansion.
Get the...
I know.
Shut the front door.
It's right there.
Yeah. I'm so excited. I can't hide it.
Ain't got no friends.
What are you going to do about it?
I am going to do anything I need to do.
Okay. That's really general. But I mean, are you going to spend time in Texas? Because I want to spend time in Texas when you're there.
Yes, definitely.
Okay. You need to get the house in Texas because...
Well, thank you for signing the...
What did I do?
Supermajority thing. You were the only one who sent it back.
I sent it back?
Well, after I called you guys.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's because I don't read my email. Like,
4 weeks had gone by. We lost three deals.
Ah, well, I blew
up. There's an issue. I there's an issue with Airbnbs in Fort Worth.
Right there is. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
So it doesn't make sense to get it.
Well, I think it does. I think it'll get resolved.
Sandy said I could stay with her.
Ooh.
No, she didn't. I'm lying to you. If I'm crying, I'm lying. I could be lying.
Well, she did kick all her kids out, so... She just has to kick Andy out.
Andy's dad is Andy's dad's in a bad way. He's going through some cancer treatment.
Oh,
so he's been up there. They're a great family. Really nice
people.
They're
a great family.
Yeah. I'm sorry they're dealing with that. But back to Christmas and Thanksgiving.
Listen, I mean, I love...
Here's the other thing I remember. Carrying booze... to Casa Grande so that when he had to have a drink with somebody, he had the booze that he was going to drink all night. And I can also remember, even though he took that precaution, him being so goddamn drunk by the time he got back to the hotel room that he was needing help to get there and get to bed.
Until
the surprise.
Until the next day,
really sick for a while, like really not feeling good. Like really sick.
Yeah.
Except for the night that you and Bobby flipped over the golf cart. And
I have no memory of that whatsoever.
Oh, my God. Bobby, that's his favorite story.
Bobby's older.
Oh, yeah. Bobby's he's a lot
older.
We got to
get Bobby on here.
I know.
He's a lot older.
Bobby Norris.
But that was kind of like what we did at the Bay Club, you know?
Yeah. Except it was a three-day thing instead of a one evening.
Right. Yeah. No.
But it's really, you know, as our family expands and we have more and more children, that was really a fun thing to do at the Bay Club.
Yeah, it was.
So everybody could kind of get to know each other a little bit.
Yeah, Ethan, we should have it here next time.
Well, now we'll do the Drover. We've got the Drover lined up for next year. So we'll
be there.
Yeah, we'll be at that Drover Hotel in the Fort Worth Stockyards, and we're going to get that same room and do the same deal. So we'll have to pick
poor Katie.
Well, you know, what's strange is when you're 13, you're not thinking, or when you're 5, 6, 7, you're just experiencing the joy of Christmas. And I mean, I remember watching Frosty the Snowman and like those movies would come on once a year and it was so magical. And I'd watch them with my dad and maybe you, I don't know. Do you remember like watching Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer?
With Burl Ives.
And, like, it was on the TV.
Click, click, click.
And now that
change the channel.
Move the ears.
Your father's gone. You're like, oh, I wish I had paid more attention. You know, I didn't. You just like, I would have snapshotted every moment at the time. And now looking back and you're like, we don't have any. I do have memories, but I just can't like, I can just tell you the feeling I had was pure love and joy and excitement. And I feel like he was up before I was every Christmas. waiting. And I think even a couple Christmases, he's like, when the heck are you going to get out of bed?
Wow,
like,
that's
great. Just like,
he did really enjoy Christmas.
Passed that on, I think, to everybody because my mom was always like, oh my God, we didn't think we were going to get anything for Christmas because, you know, my parents didn't have any money. You know, they were like, I don't know if we could afford to have a bike or whatever we wanted, you know? And it was always like but if you believe in Santa Claus, you know, or you believe that you've been good, then it was like, and then you'd get up and it was like, oh my God, I got the bike. I got the bike with the Schwinn bike with the banana seat.
Oh, you got what you wanted.
It's so yeah, cool. Every time. And I
Melinda,
did that
who unfortunately is not with us today.
Yeah.
Swear she saw Santa go up the chimney. She got up early and she went down there. And of course.
Was that when he was married to Chata?
That wow, was, that is so on the nose. That was so funny.
Nikki maybe. Hilton.
Could have been. Could have been. Mrs. Chata Hilton.
You had me convinced one night. You weren't with us, and I went out to dinner with Mom and Dad, and we came home, and you were like, you just missed Santa. I saw Rudolph. I saw all the reindeer, and I was brokenhearted. I was, like, seriously crying. Like, I couldn't believe that I missed. And you're like, nope, they were just right there. I'm surprised you can't see them now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Full of love and joy.
That no, that's me. Fabulous.
That reminds me of
my kids would have been telling them that, you know, there is no Santa Claus.
Reminds me of a Christmas story. You know, this is old, in a rural area in this farm. You know, they don't have indoor plumbing or anything like that. It's just a couple. You know, the farmer gets to, you know, they're going to bed. And they're going to bed and they get to sleep and everything. All of a sudden, there's a horrible commotion out in the backyard. And the guy jumps out of bed. He runs to one and he throws the drapes open. He looks down there and he says, there's a sled out there. And there's some reindeer, and there's a guy in a red suit, and their outhouse is knocked completely down. and this little guy in the red suit looks up and he says, Rudolph, I said the Schmidt house.
And scene.
To all of our
yeah.
podcast viewers from all of us,
happy Thanksgiving.
Happy
Thanks
Thanksgiving.
For coming down.
Merry Christmas.
Good seeing everybody.
And a very Merry Christmas. We love all of you. Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening to the John Wayne Gritcast. Make sure you subscribe so you never miss an episode. If you like what you heard, give us 5 stars in the Apple Podcast app and follow us on social media at John Wayne Official.
Slap some bacon on a biscuit and let's go.